too many Tic Tacs in the town.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the 3:38 starting time. Please welcome from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, Matthew Wiley. Play away, please.
I'm going to float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. His hands can't hit what his eyes can't see.
Sucker, look at you. You out, sucker.
Golf Landing 143. What an underrated, another five-star tune from Nirvana. I play that because, oh, by the way, welcome to the show. Golflandia 143. Actual golf, Golflandia. We have golf this week, brought to you by DraftKings. DraftKings has some epic contests this week for Showdown for the Outlaw Tour, Outlaw Goat Tour. Not tour for goats, actual goats. It's the Goat Tour, greatest of all time. Yes, better than PGA or Euro. Good luck, PGL. This is what you should have been doing. Instead of tweeting ephemeral tweets like everyone owns golf. Well, I just sold my shares in the golf, PGL, and I bought all in long calls for 21 and 22 in the Outlaw Tour. Chief! What was I talking about? Oh, yeah. The reason why I played Nirvana, not just because I'm a huge Nirvana stan. However, Post Malone, who someone said, I think it was Mr. Jay Huffman, said, by the way, he looks like Hank Scorpio from The Simpsons. Jay said that a lot of people give Post Malone a hard time. Why? That was, if you didn't see it, I posted it, an hour and 18 minutes for charity of him, Travis Barker from Blink-182 on drums, and two other guys who were awesome doing Nirvana covers for an hour 18 straight, no breaks. Did not miss a word. And if you remember Puddle of Mudd's cover of About a Girl, I think, or All Apologies, which was egregious, this was the first time in 26 years where I felt like I was listening to Kurt Cobain live. He hit everything. It was unbelievable. It was like chills. And he led with Francis Farmer, which is an underrated song, and then Drain You, and I was hooked. Yeah, what a talent. I mean, he's 25 years old. He was born after Kurt Cobain passed away. I suggest you watch it. This week, though, we do have Outlaw. I did a whole segment with Pat, by the way, on Sunday. Today's Monday. I did it Sunday. So I've got an hour plus with Pat. I know it's long, so I'm going to keep this intro short. And it was on video, so I'm talking to the audience and you as if you can see me, which is different from the approach for a regular podcast. So some stuff may not make sense. As if that's unusual for this show. But we have the Outlaw, we have Cactus, which I'm already wrong on. You'll figure out why, based on the leaderboard as it stands now and what I said yesterday. So it's amazing. This podcast has already started, and I'm already wrong. However, I have been doing well in the showdowns for Outlaw, and I've got a team that's going to absolutely stomp on some skulls tomorrow, some of these whales. I won it twice, the 555, I think. Well, I've got a team tomorrow that has 8 hours of time put into it. So we'll get to that. And then there's a third tournament, which I did not talk about with Pat, that was just listed on Bovada, the Merideau Samaritan Fund Invitational. And I guess it is 7,900 yards. Someone, I don't know if he's accurate or not, but I guess the course is plays over 7,900 yards. Josh at LaserShow03. And I said, is it 8,000 feet of elevation? In this tournament, Hovland, Scheffler are both sub 2-1. And then you got Harry Higgs at 5-1. Then it's just Tony Romo, 350 to 1. Not touching it. .com. So I said, after we get to the tournaments, which I will with Pat, and I'll start with Pat, end with Pat, it'll close up from there. He posted the same podcast. You're welcome to listen to it there too. It's the same sound file. He posted at 10 a.m. and I'm posting it tonight because he is a much more professionally run production outfit. I will say this. I took one question and it dives into this topic. I saw today that the Lakers, ESPN said the Lakers returned approximately $4.6 million that they received from a federal government program because the program was intended to help small business weather the economic burden. And I've seen this a few times with Shake Shack, with Ruth's Chris, with others. But the Lakers in particular, it really appalled me and pissed me off. And someone sent it to me, and I just had to tweet about it. Because it looks like, it makes the appearance like, this is an act of altruism, or it's an act of charity or philanthropy, because they take advantage of that PR spin. But they just didn't get it. They just didn't get $4.6 million showing up in their bank account on Monday morning. They fucking applied for it, as did the others. Anyone who got money applied for it, meaning they knew it was for small business. And if you can rationalize to me that the Lakers are a small business, I mean, maybe they counted their staff as admin under 500 employees or what have you. You are insane. It was appalling that they actually would try to get $4.6 million from taxpayers' mouths and small businesses like mine, like others, who actually need it. From small businesses in the LA area who pay money, more money than they've got, to go see the Lakers. And then these assholes grift them for more money. It is appalling. So instead of taking, what's their player salaries? $120 million? Instead of taking 4%, 3% of that money to cover payroll costs, they grift it from the federal government and taxpayers ultimately. $4 million, which is nothing to the Lakers, which is nothing to these companies that try to take it, which is propping up and their player salaries. It may not go directly to it, no, but of course it's correlated. You hate socialism? That's socialism. People who don't have the money propping up these monopolies. The Lakers are going to be fine before, during, after this crisis. They'll be absolutely 100% fine. And for them to go out and try to get a free $4 million, which is nothing to them, which is half a month of their NBA salaries. LeBron James has that in his locker in cash. And then when it went south PR-wise, when they saw Shake Shack et al., and it wasn't going well, they, quote, gave it back. And some people will think, oh, well, isn't that kind? The government gave them money and they gave them back. No, they tried to get it. And then they spun it as philanthropic when things went south. I hope the Lakers lose every game from now until forever. It's sickening. That's disgusting. Because I know people that are their whole enterprise is closing. Their small business that they employ actual people in local communities and give and provide a great service to these to their local community. They're not one of the people that they can't even get $100,000. Sick. So the question correlated to that, and I asked this question. Well, I asked for one question tonight because I don't have time, and I'm going to make this a 20-minute segment. Matt, how the pros do it. If you could punch one person in real life with zero repercussions, who would it be, and why is it Darren Revelle? I don't wish violence on anyone, except for people who don't obey the crosswalk in front of my office. I will jump on your car, and we're going to have a talk, Chief. Darren Revelle, quote, tweets about the Lakers. It's one thing that the Lakers applied for a small business loan. It's another that they actually received the money. Many will put the blame on the Lakers, which is justified, even after they return the money. But a system that actually awards the millions is just as messed up. That is the dumbest comment on any subject I've ever read on Twitter. And that is saying something. That last part is mine. Many will put the blame on the Lakers. Everyone will put the blame on the Lakers. Darren, have you ever employed anyone, Darren Revelle? Have you ever created anything? Have you ever taken risk? Have you ever had millions of dollars in banknotes secured or leveraged by you? Do you ever look your employees in the face when you've got to pay them over the next few weeks and don't know what to do, or your family? Have you ever done that before? Or have you always worked for a corporation that you've got a paycheck from? I don't know. I'm asking. But it's a shitload of risk for small businesses like mine, like others, like everyone who DMs me about it, who's got to weigh their future based on 2.5 months of payroll so they don't have to lay off everyone. So it's not the government's fault. That's like saying, well, stealing a purse you found on the floor from a grandma while you're running out of a burning building. Well, she shouldn't have dropped it. No, we're all being accountable to each other right now. I can go out and go to Kroger at the grocery store and cough all over the vegetables and have coronavirus. I'm not going to get arrested, but why do I not do it? Because I'm accountable to other people. That's how life fucking works. That's how we get ahead. The Lakers, you can't, as a woke, independent, centrist, less government guy, which I'm sure D. Revelle is, you can't say, well, the Lakers are the greatest organization in history, which I'm sure he said, but then, oh, they just can't figure out the payroll protection loan documents. You can't have it both ways. It's amazing how you play that. Smart, genius, NBA, billionaire, genie bus organization. Well, don't put it on them for not being able to fill out an application. They knew what they were doing. Of course they did. And they stole it from people who needed it. And then they returned it when the PR was going bad to make themselves look altruistic. What a fucking game. What a flim-flam. Amazing. What a grift. Quite crafty. Let's talk to Pat.
The cross between Golflandia and the Pat Mayo Experience today. I did my intro off the top, Wiley, and I'm giving away a hoodie to the Outlaw Tour.
You're giving a hoodie to the Outlaw Tour?
No, they're going to give – they've given me a hoodie to give away on this show. So the deal is going to be – so your listeners can hear this too. Whether it's tweeted from the Pat Mayo Experience account, from the Golflandia account, your personal account, if you share – if you share the show on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook, and then reply with your – no, drive. Just say that you did. Actually, I can see who it is, so I guess that doesn't matter. Just retweet it. You retweet it, you're in a draw to win an Outlaw Tour hoodie. They don't actually have them made yet, though. They're making them this week.
I think the Outlaw Tour needs a Pat Mayo hoodie.
That would be awesome. But maybe like we can do. Well, have you watched any of these Periscopes that they've done yet?
Yes,
I like them.
Listen. I want this was point three I wanted to get to you with. By the way, hi Pat.
Hi. How are you?
Couple one point before I get into this. All this quarantine COVID-19 started after the DFS Open, just an FYI.
That's what you're saying. That you not going to the DFS Open, you think, set off a chain of events which released COVID into the world after we all had all returned from playing golf?
I'm just saying you're intermixing it in Florida. Something happened right after that.
I mean, I quarantined myself for 2 weeks once I got home, so.
Outlaw Tour. Have I been watching the Periscopes? Yes. If anything was going to be the actual rival to the PGA Tour, not the low-life PGL Tour that'll never happen, the Outlaw Tour is it. It's developmental. It's distinct from anything in the professional ranks. It happens on early weeks, which is a good offset to the PGA Tour from a fantasy perspective. Plus, why not watch golf on Periscope or Instagram Live? The guy who's running it, he does a great job calling all the shots, unless he's hungover. Do you see that?
I did. That was a... I thought it was a good pub for the tour, too, that they were just open about it. They're like, yeah, he's too hungover. He can't do it. This is a work in progress here.
His buddy who had to fill in drew a schematic of what the guy who is drunk might the process from 6 p.m. in Phoenix the night before to now. I think Cecil was actually talking to him behind the scenes, Peters. And he's a funny guy.
Well, the big thing that I would want to do, because I was looking into ways where, is there a way where I could take, let's say they had five Periscope feeds on the go. And if you follow at Outlaw Golf Tour on Twitter, you can find all the Periscope feeds up there that they're going to be doing for the live.
Fiji.
Yeah. But if there was a way that we could like grab all the Periscope feeds and put them into like a processor, and then we could actually like switch between the holes. I don't know if that works for Periscope or if there's a way to do it, but I'm looking into it. I feel like that there's something there.
Right. Well, we've seen something like that here at the agency I have, where you can have an app that switches between live production. But you really don't. What it's taught us, Pat, two things it's taught us. One, you don't need a ton of production in order to make a product viable. You don't have to be on national TV. You also, and this goes against my grudge at anyone who slammed me for saying golf was more than just about the stars, clearly our interest in the Outlaw Tour and guys like Kaim Fontana, it's more than just being about the stars, right?
Yeah, there's an aspect to it where people are just concerned about things they can bet on or play DraftKings on.
Right. And kudos to DraftKings for stepping in and putting, what, $1 million in contests on Monday?
Okay, so for this Outlaw Tour tournament runs Tuesday. It's a 54-holer, so it's Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. The big one, and it's all showdown contests, it seems. But the round one showdown contest is $10 to play and $150,000 guaranteed, $50K to first place.
And it'll fill?
For sure.
For sure it'll fill.
Like we're speaking before the prices have come out. We've been waiting all day to get them. We haven't got them yet. But they will be out by the time people see this. I do have some tips on ways they can improve the Periscope. Number one, when you release it and you give like the three players that are playing, tell me what color shirt they're wearing so I know who's who if I'm just like randomly tuning in. I feel like that could help.
Right. Because all they do is put the text over top of the Periscope. Well, no, they do it on the Instagram. You really don't know on the Periscope at all, right?
Yeah.
Until the guy's talking. I mean, yeah. Beggars can't be choosers. It's not bad.
No, no. Listen, I'm glad someone needs to be like first on the scene to try this out. So this is a perfect test ground because what does the Outlaw Tour have to lose with any of this? The answer is nothing. They're only gaining popularity because of it. And let's say, and this is legitimately just like random people with iPhones going out and doing this. Imagine if you just even put five people of a real production team behind this, how much better it could be with just this equipment.
Well, and I think that the Outlaw Tour is getting excited about that opportunity. They've added two more tournaments before PGA starts, three more actually, at the end of the month. There could be a dramatic letdown after everyone jumps back to professional and Euro Tour betting.
Yes.
Likely will. But at the same time, we can always give credit to the Outlaw Tour for saving golf because it did. And there's always a spot in our heart for it, right, Pat?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what my interest level is going to be once real golf comes back, but you know,
none.
The fact that we're even doing this show really speaks to the times that we live in right now.
It's pretty sad. I'm alone in my office talking to you about the Cactus Tour.
And the Outlaw Tour.
And the Outlaw Tour.
Well, let's get the Cactus Tour out of the way because I hadn't planned on talking about it. Because I legitimately do not recognize a name in this field, which I can say I recognize three in the Outlaw Tour one. But you have a bet for the Cactus Tour.
Yeah, hang on. Let me put on my Felix Grays. This is brought to you by Felix Gray. Look at that. I've won two showdowns since I've got these glasses, Pat.
Have you?
And I hadn't. Yeah, I've won two big showdowns. I won the 555, I think, twice. I've never played showdown golf. It's a lot of fun. For those of you who don't play it, it's all about single day birdies, eagles, birdie streaks. And we've got the names of those guys today. On the Cactus Tour, which is strictly betting, right?
Yes.
Much like the Outlaw Tour, where Alex Chayka, who is not a household name necessarily on PGA Tour for winning week to week or at all, he won after getting warmed up couple of weeks ago, going away. On the Cactus Tour, which is the women, Sophia Popoff, who's, what, plus 125 right now? Basically even money. She's an actual professional golfer. Burnham is not playing this week, so she's leaps and bounds. She could easily run this away. There's a new entry, though, on the Cactus Tour this week. Louise Stahl, or Stahle, or Stahle. Or Stahel, Stahle, 14 to 1, 16 to 1. You see it, what, 11?
I have it at 10 and or 14, depending on where you're looking.
She's been on the LPGA Tour. I believe she's an active member of the European Tour. And much like the Spawn odds, JJ or John Spawn, that they got wrong this week, that's not a bad look at 16 to 1 with some doubles. And that is the Cactus Tour preview.
You have talked me in to our now sponsored segment on the Cactus Tour to bet.
I'm not actually sponsored by Felix Gray. That was just a plug, so maybe we can get sponsored by Felix Gray.
Yeah.
But Dave Portnoy has done a great job on Barstool holding that enterprise together, and they sent him a bunch of glasses, and they actually work. For how much we stare at the screen, Pat? Whatever.
You like to think that I'm a person who needs glasses. I do not. Very sharp eyes. I have shark eyes over here. Just look right
I like
through.
Your haircut, by the way. I know you're doing it yourself.
Yes, I am doing it myself. I mean, it's okay. It's a lot cooler. And not like, you know, in the hip sense of cool, but physically cooler to walk around. That was the big difference. My hair was getting out of control. I couldn't do anything with it. It felt greasy at all times. And I'm not showering every day anymore, so I couldn't have it long.
Yeah. You look like you put on weight too. Like you're stronger.
I have been lifting. Thank you for nicely calling me fat. That's nice.
Yeah. Well. Yeah.
I got no treadmill. All I got is weights at home now. It's got a.
You
lift.
Got a weights a condo. You've got. Do you have an outdoor space like a communal space?
No. It's not. It's not a big condo area.
Do you want to tell people where you live, your address?
No, yeah, I'll just put it on a pin on Google Maps. People can come find me. Maybe that can be a thing. People can like stalk me, and I can run away from them, and my cardio will get back up to a good level.
Right. Hang on a second. Oh, no, you look real thin. Never mind.
Thank you. Yeah, once you have those convex lenses, concave, convex, I have the reverse funhouse mirror effect once you have those on. Either way, I'm looking at DK Sportsbook right now, and your girl, Louis Stahl, is 7-1. So DK is ahead
of the
game
on that. Are you serious?
One. Yeah.
Yeah. They get it. So all right, let's jump to the Outlaw Tour, right?
Well, I played the double. So, yeah, Outlaw Tour straight up. JJ Spahn, PGA person who I've bet to win PGA tournaments, JJ Spahn, is in the field this week. I bet him at 12-1, and I played a double with him and your girl, Luis, and that pays like 146-1.
Listen, I know a lot of people are saying I can't win any money on Spahn at any price. And this is different. We've bet Spahn in majors, okay? He's one of the better ball strikers on tour. Yes. What is that graphic? Oh, my God. The production level here, Pat.
We're really enhancing the Outlaw Tour right now.
Can I ask you something? And I have a very tough time understanding simple concepts.
Okay.
Go back to that screen if you could.
Okay. Well, let's bring it up.
Hey, Paul, back to that screen. Okay. Is there a reason you have the hole up there for hole 18 at the GCU, for instance?
Why?
Is it just random?
Yeah, it's to fill out the screen.
Okay. For the life of me, I've been for 2.5 years, I've been trying to figure out what it means. And I could have just asked you. Like, I thought it was corollary to something.
No, it's core. That is the 18th hole at the course that they're
playing
this
week.
Okay,
see? See, I'm the kind of guy who didn't put together that the woods in Jupiter, owned by Tiger Woods, that the woods connected to the last name of Tiger Woods. Never mind.
Okay, so here's what I got on the course for this tournament. It is the redesigned Grand Canyon University Golf Course in Phoenix features a nostalgic beauty of a rich history as former Maryvale Golf Course, as well as state-of-the-art amenities for the modern golfer. This municipal golf course welcomes the local and GCU community to enjoy the game of golf from one distinct challenging hole to the next. It's playing just over 7,200 yards, and it's a par 71, and the guy that won this event last year at this course is playing in the field.
Max Homa, I was talking to him, and he asked me what course they're playing because he saw the Kim Fontana plus 52. And I said the Legacy. And he said, oh, that's a really, really easy course. This is a par 71, I think they're playing it, right?
Yeah.
It's no slouch, it's 7,200 yards. But for a guy like JJ Spahn, this is not something that he has not seen before. And to get it to make him what, the fifth? Now he's 9-1, but at 14-1 opening, it's just not right. I mean, Callum Hill won a few weeks ago, professional golfer, good. Chaka again won. Realistically, Spahn should lap this field.
But if the course is like easy, like you say, Hama said it is, I think that equalizes the field a little bit because I think it actually plays to JJ Spahn's favorite. This is three rounds and not two rounds like the last few have been. Just over time, it's like how when you bet like the 150-1 first round leader, like any PGA Tour is different than this tour because I bet on a guy last week and I thought he won the tournament, but it just turned out he had a similar name. And turns out the guy that I bet on was like 18 over par. So I did not win that bet. But
was it Fry?
No, it was the guy who won last week was, the hell was his name?
Nico Galletti.
Yeah, and I bet some other guy that his first name started with N and ended with G, and it was not the same guy. Either way.
No.
There's a big tilt on this, too, because I was like cashing bigly in all my DraftKings contests, and I looked at the Outlaw Tour live scoring, and I thought that the tournament was done, or the round was done, but alas, it was not, and they like re-updated 9 holes on DraftKings scoring. I didn't win a cent.
Oh, yeah. You gotta be very patient with the leaderboard, because sometimes it corrects itself, too. But there, I understand from a betting standpoint to win. I think Spahn over 3 days is your best choice.
I agree.
Because even these guys for a small purse tournament, $5,000 is a lot of money. You do see some decline when you're playing against a PGA pro on Sunday or day three, whatever day time is a flat circle, Pat. I don't even know what the day this ends. So, but in showdown, you're right. There are birdie makers here. I'll name one. The guy 1A to spawn for me is Nick Mason. Guy can absolutely put up a ton of birdies.
In his past two starts on the Outlaw Tour, he didn't play last week. We played the week before and the week before that. He came fifth and he came third. And he is priced as like, we don't have the DraftKings pricing, but in terms of odds, he's like the ninth man on the board.
Yes. Another one too, and I'll give you another, is Mitch Carlson. I think it's Mitchell Carlson.
Mitch Carlson is 70-1 in this tournament.
So he may be 80. That's absurd because he maybe can win.
Okay.
I mean, at 70-1, Mitchell, he almost won last week. He put up the most birdies last week. I think he had 14 over 2 days. Mitch Carlson can play. If he's in the 7,000s, he'll be 100%. He should be 100% owned. IMO.
Outlaw Tour leaderboard. It's tough to figure out some of the, like, I feel like some of these guys have like similar names, and then I get them confused with other guys. It's a really weird tour to, like, when you are digging into this, like,
yeah.
How many of these players realistically do you know? Like, in this field, there are 84 guys. Do we know 20 of them?
Well, do I know now or did I know before?
Even to know now.
Okay, since the quarantine, I know almost all of them that are in these tournaments. Many of the amateurs are not like Victor Hovland, U.S. amateurs. They're guys who wanted to pay $280 just to play. Amateurs have not shown themselves to do well here. There are guys who play in Arizona who are really good on these tours. We said Mason, Carlson, Galletti, Goatletti, Gorbon puts up a ton of birdies. Limbisuit, the Paul brothers. I'm calling them the Paul brothers. I don't even know if they're Paul brothers, but it's Yannick and Jeremy. They don't sound like they'd be brothers.
They're both from Germany. That would lead me to believe that they're probably brothers.
They may be twins. Let's call them the Paul twins. Jake and whatever that guy. Jimmy Gunn, Whelan, and there's a few Canadians who play on here. Riley Whelan, and Carson Roberts. There is a set of those guys, 10 to 12, that 100% will be in the top 10. You may have a couple of guys sneak in. I think Lehman, is that Tom Lehman's kid?
It could be his grandkid for all I know.
Right.
Like, At first I thought it was Tom Lehman. I was like, Tom Lehman must be like 60.
But those guys, take your pick if you could afford them. You're going to need to have someone to take a flyer on. Last week it was Joey Galloway. And I don't know if it was the actual wide receiver Galloway. But he did okay in the 6,000s. The pricing is very rough because Spawn should be 12,000, but like Nick Mason will be 10,800. And then it's a grab bag from there.
Let's see. Yeah, Mitchell Carlson, fourth last week. This guy
Carlson will have the most birdies.
I am going to bet Mitchell Carlson. I'm going to play.
Yes.
I'm going to 70-1. Give me some $10 on him to win, $10 on the each way.
I don't like the odds on the Paul brothers, even though they could win. The guy who won last year, he hasn't played a lot this year. That's the only thing going for him as far as I can see.
That's Mark Anguiano.
The deep threats, Gorbon and Carlson, 100%. There you go.
So Gorbon is 60-1. You say Carlson?
Mitchell Carlson.
70-1. All right. So those guys have to be like 7,200 or something like that.
It's absurd odds. I mean, they are not far away from Callum Hill, and Callum Hill is what, 7-1?
Yeah. Like Callum Hill or Dylon, woo, depending on where you look, are the two favorites.
Jimmy Gunn can play. I talked to Jimmy Gunn's former caddy. He said that guy has all the skills to play. He hasn't won yet. He'll be in the 10,000s as well. So it's basically...
Oh, no. There's no way he'll be in the 10,000s. Like, he's 91 max. He's 22-1. He's the 12th favorite in this field.
But he's like Tony Finau, right? It's just everyone... It's Jimmy Gunland. It's the guns.
He's got... If his last name wasn't Gun, would people be all in on him?
No.
Like, I played this guy Yates last week. He was okay.
Yates? Carson Yates?
Yeah, he stole all the Super Bowl squares.
Colton Yates.
So he could get into this tournament and pay the entry fee.
Yeah. Colton Yates and Will Bateman were the two hot topics last week. They did not perform because Yannick Paul absolutely dusts everyone. I think Yannick Paul is the best putter on this tour. I can't believe I know this stuff, and it's pretty sad.
I mean, I do. Both of the Pauls have been, like, when you construct a DraftKings lineup with these guys, right. Obviously we don't know the pricing, but, like, I don't think that Spahn is going to be the highest priced guy. I would guess it's Wu or Hill. Like, would you, because I honestly, like, it's a legit dice roll with some of these guys who will be in the 6K. Like, do you even try to do that, or do you try to play as balanced as possible?
Well, I think that it's not punitive as much to have a guy in the six as long as it's not Kim Fontana, who was minus 77 points. If a guy has all par, he was minus 77. He had four quads, I think, Pat.
That's good, right?
Do you know anyone who played him? Were there people actually talking about him?
I don't think so. I mean, I haven't really heard many in-depth conversations about the Outlaw Tour. I'm not going to lie to you.
But a guy in the 8,000s on day one is going to get as many points as a guy in the 10,000s, especially if the eagle. Slattery. He eagles a lot. Gorbon, again, ton of birdies. Carlson, ton of birdies. If those guys eagle, it's worth every penny, right? So it's, I guess a lot of people won't play the 10,000 guys. And I guess if you want a lineup that is dissimilar, take that. But Spahn can shoot 59.
Birdie or better. I like this. They've updated the birdie or better streak. So the best birdie
to what?
From last week. Carlson had a birdie or better streak. Michael Keller, Matt Gerska, and KK Limhost.
I almost won two of the 555s last week. But wakey, DFS had Gerska. Gerska killed me. Gerska can play too. Whatever. What are we talking about?
How many people are playing in these 555s? Is it like a lot of people?
There's 10 or 20.
Okay.
Right. But, yeah. I would say that for me, Spahn, Mason, Deep Carlson, pop off because she could win three times in a row, or Stahale.
Yeah, you're not going to bet pop off at plus 125, though.
Even if you double it, it only amplifies at what, 2x?
It's probably not even worth the risk.
It's really not. Let's just stare at each other.
Yeah, I'm just looking at some of these names. Jonathan Kahn! That's a good name. I can get behind him. Good last name.
Who?
Jonathan Kahn.
Kong?
Kahn, like Wrath of Kahn.
I never heard of him.
I see. This field's deep. This is an 84-man field.
Holy cow.
Like, there's like a legit tournament in 2 weeks. I think it's Scottsdale.
His name is Thomas Lehman. It's Thomas Lehman's son, for sure. He's 24 years old, lives in Arizona. Of course.
So two weeks from now, there's like Streelman, Damon, Spahn. Like, we got guys in that tournament.
Can you imagine if Damon doesn't win that?
I mean, I could see Streelman winning. Like, Streelman's the best of those guys.
I'd love for, like, big dick Nick Mason to just take it down.
Who else has played well here? Let's see. Guys,
no one.
No, I have results from last year.
The Paul brothers.
Yeah, the Paul brothers last year were 2-4 at this course.
Yeah.
Dylan Healy, who was 9th on the Outlaw Tour 3 weeks ago, was 8th at this tournament last year.
Yes. So, Bailey and Healy, two birdie makers.
So I'm gonna add Healy to my list.
We should do some fades.
Let's see. Alistair Daughtry was 3rd at this tournament last year.
Uh-huh.
Brandon Lee was 10th, and so was Zach Smith.
Uh-huh.
So that's all I got.
I don't see anyone named Alistair winning. I'm just going to say that.
What if this tournament was in Scotland?
Alistair will win. Limbasuit, I guess he's from Thailand. He's been playing real Limbasuit, yeah, KK Limbasuit.
3-16th, 2nd, 3rd is what I'm looking at right here.
Yes, and he's been sort of the most short-priced the last couple of weeks. But he really faded day 3 last week. So if you want to fade, if you want a big number fade, jump ski off Limbasuit.
In fairness, there was only 2 rounds last week.
That's right. He didn't do well round 3.
Yeah, bad round 3. He couldn't really put the press on in round 3.
Hang on. Let me see if that's right, Pat. Let me see. Yeah, that is right. Sorry. I didn't have my glasses on.
This is a very confusing tour.
It is. Have you played? You have played it yet.
I played round 1 last week.
Excellent.
And then I forgot about it because I didn't win.
We're sitting here refreshing DraftKings screen. DraftKings.com. Waiting for the pricing. That's not out yet.
It's been basically a mirror of the betting odds so far.
Okay.
So I would guess that that's going to be the order. I don't know what the exact pricing is going to be, but like, unless it's Spawn, like I can't imagine Dylan Woo is above $11,000.
I guarantee you they put Callum Hill 1.
Well, you know what? They don't have odds on DraftKings Sportsbook for this.
No.
They only have Cactus Tour odds.
This may go down as Spawn 14-1 or anything above 10, as unless it's canceled by Bovada, the easiest bet in the history of golf.
We'll see. We'll see about that. I'm curious because what was it? Cheka 2 week, like the first event that he played in. Didn't win.
Right.
And then he won the next week. So maybe there's some like rust to shake off. I hope this extra round really plays to Spawn's strengths. So.
But let me ask you this. In any PGA Tour, let's say the Safeway Open, when Spawn is playing or Chake is playing, same price, who are you taking?
Spawn 100%.
You go. So I think that now the field may be a little stronger in this one, but I mean, come on.
Most par breakers on tour. Alex Chaika. How about that?
Yeah, most par breakers last week. Mitchell Carlson, 14 birdies in 2 days. So Nico Galletti had 2 eagles. That's the death punch in showdown.
View Outlaw Tour season stats. Okay, here we go. This isn't really telling me much. I want to find eagles. Total eagles. Eagles per hole. Here we go. Alex.
Slats.
Alex, he only played 1 round. He had two weeks. I wonder if Alex Lobeck is in this field. He had 2 eagles.
He's not.
In 1 round. It's pretty good.
Slattery can eagle. He's kind of streaky, but Slates can eagle. He may be 80 low eights.
All right, Groundland. Do you know about this Groundland guy?
He's not playing, is he?
No, he's not.
No.
I'm just trying to find guys who have more than like 1 round.
Galletti and Mason are going to be the Eagle Chiefs.
Galletti and Mason. Galletti.
A couple of nines, a few eights, a 7, and a 6.
And some eagles.
And just pray for birdie-free rounds and a couple of eagles. Yeah.
Okay, so here's a guy, and he's playing this week. He's 6th on the Outlaw Tour in eagles per round. He's played 5 rounds. He has 4 eagles. Daniel Myernitsky.
Never heard of him.
Myernitsky. Daniel Myronicki.
I don't think he's Daniel Myronicki.
He hasn't played since the reboot happened of the Outlaw Tour, but he played earlier in the year. He missed a lot of cuts.
He missed cuts on this tour or other tours?
That I cannot confirm. I see a lot of MC. I'm looking at Mike Miller sheets, and just a lot of MCs next to his name.
Yes. Callum Hill, in terms of golf rankings, I think he is higher than Spahn.
Yes, he's like more than double what Spahn is, I think.
But really the class of the field is Hill, Wu, JJ Spahn. Are you getting your information here from smartgolfbets.com?
I was, yes.
By the way, excellent. Yeah.
Let's see. Spahn is currently 325th in the world, and Hill is 136th.
Who's Steve Alker?
Hardly knew
him. From New Zealand. Steve Alker. He's from New Zealand.
Is it E-L or A-L?
A-L-K-E-R. Steve Alker. He's 60-51 in the world. He plays in the Corn Ferry.
And he's in this field?
Yes. He's top 25 on a Corn Ferry tournament in Bahamas at Abaco. There you go. There's your sneaky pick. Steven Alker. He's 48 years old.
In four Corn Ferry starts this year, T34, T23, miscut.
Bro, he's 34-1 right now.
It's 34-1. Where is Elker here? I like how we're 33. I see 33, but yeah. Elker. I'm gonna throw him on the sheet too. This is gonna be fun. I wish I knew who like Ollie Roberts was. Where's Ollie Schneiderjans? Why isn't he playing?
I don't know why some guys wouldn't just, because they all live in Arizona, just use it to fine-tune their game.
I mean, they could be like, I don't want to get COVID, so I don't want to play.
Or does it diminish your brand somewhat by playing? I don't think Spahn would go out there if he didn't think that he could win.
Yeah.
And he should. Because if he doesn't, he's very good.
Where's Smiley Kaufman in all this?
Nope.
Get Smiley out there. Start winning some. Get your confidence back on track. Win some events.
They added those three tournaments prior to Colonial. By the way, sounding of ice chewing on a podcast deep into a mic sounds great.
Top notch. You're a regular pro.
The three tournaments that they've added prior to Colonial, do you think that some of these PGA pros just say, hey, let me get some swings in?
I think legitimate PGA pros who are
like John Rahm. Can you imagine John Rahm?
That'd be amazing. I'd bet John Rahm. What would he be like? Minus 1,000?
1,000? Minus 10. I mean, it would be off the board. It'd be Joe Burrow number one stuff. By the way, I gave you max bets for the NFL. I text you on Thursday for my Wiley's max bet guarantees.
I faded the max bets, fortunately.
Yes. You kindly said, yeah, I think I'll not do that.
Well, hopefully more people sided with me than sided with you on that one. Are you pumped for your Bengals at least?
I don't care.
You know what? If they're good, you'll care.
Will I?
Yeah, you will. If Burrow is awesome, if Burrow is like Lamar, I know that he's not like Lamar, but if all of a sudden like next year, he's an MVP candidate, you're going to be fired up.
Do you know that the odds of the selecting Burrow number one overall were what? Minus 20,000?
I think it closed at minus 10,000.
Deep inside my history with the Bengals, there was a side of me that believed that they could go with the third round safety first overall. And that wasn't even not a remote possibility. But whatever.
Colton.
Hey, Pat, are we going to do something in studio in the summer?
If we're allowed to have people in studio, yeah, and you're back up here.
Okay. All right. Let me write that down.
You can come see my fancy studio.
Nice. And what's your address again at home?
Yeah. Again, I'm just going to throw out the link to the pin. You can just drop it. You can find out not only where my studio is, where my house is. It'll all be fine. I got to draw you away from cottage country, though. Every time you come back up, you're just in Muskoka, just chilling and relaxing.
3 years in a row, I'm like, yeah, I'll be down there Friday. and I never go.
Yeah, then you realize you don't want to come into the city, because why would you?
It's a haul going into Toronto.
Especially when there's traffic. There's no traffic anymore.
Is it crazy?
It's nuts.
What are we doing?
I don't know. Are you leading the protests outside your governor's mansion?
No. I'm not.
You're not demanding a haircut so badly you're protesting?
I've been cutting my own hair and I'm doing just fine. What I've realized is, haven't you realized that there's a lot of luxuries? Yeah, you'd like them back, but really, did you need them? I mean, did we need to go out for dinner every night? No. Maybe. I don't know. You've got two young kids at home or one young kid. You're probably going nuts.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's about to be two young kids. So that's driving me even more mental right now.
When is it due?
3 weeks.
Are you having it at the condo?
No, we're going into the COVID-free hospital.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is it a boy or a girl?
Boy.
Two boys.
It's going to be 15 months apart. It's going to be nuts.
If JJ spawns when, can you name it JJ Mayo?
No, I'm going to pass on that. Maybe John Mayo. Yeah, that's all I got. You got anything else? Do you think Colonial is going to happen?
Yes.
I think it will too.
I think it'll happen. It'd be interesting to see the players' response as to who actually... It's a great tournament. We know that. It's a great course. I think the PGA is one professional league that can handle some distancing. I think the energy for golf being first back will only do great things for golf.
Yeah, I think there are some players who are not, like, I don't think Rory's going to play for a while. Like, PGA Championship would be probably the first I think you see Rory if he goes to that.
Let me ask you this. The Masters being played in November, and I should have done the research. I guess the rankings just end at the same part of the end of the year, but what tournaments won count towards you getting into the Masters in April of 2021? Is it the ones before it, or do those get you into 2020? It's odd, right?
No, they closed everything at the end of March like they normally would have for the Masters. Okay. So the field for November is set. So anything mm-hmm. that you do now counts towards 2021 Masters.
Oh, okay. Let me put my glasses on that. I knew that. Yep, I knew that.
Yeah. So there was the final four who got in. Like McDowell got in, Morikawa got in, Scheffler right. got in, and someone else got in. But
fun stuff.
I believe Hovland is not in.
We should do this for every Outlaw Tour event until June.
You mean me trying to figure out where to find stats on this site and be like, oh, what about this guy? Is he playing? That breakdown?
Yeah, really, this breakdown for everyone has been completely not helpful because they could just go to the website and sort by most birdies. But
and now that like we've talked about the people that we're probably going to play, then I assume that people aren't doing like anyone who does like their own independent research from this is going to have a huge leg up, because if anyone watches this and they play a tournament, they're just going to use the names that we threw out like we're going to use. So like 80% of us are all going to have the same guys. So just go another route and you'll probably win.
Here's the advantage for me is that no one plays who I play.
So you're saying you're not even touting the people that you're playing?
No. If I tout guys, everyone just plays the opposite of what I did because my history has been so shit until recently. So I have that advantage, Pat. No one thinks I'm going to win.
Would you?
But I tell you what, if Mitchell Carlson wins, microphone this way, we're going to be in absolute rarefied air.
Maybe I'll have to, you know what? I bet Mitch Carlson already, but I'm going to
double down.
I'm going to double down here. I'm going to double with your girl, Luis. I'm going to go, let's see here. Mitch Carlson, Luis Shal, whatever.
Yes.
It pays 780 to 1.
There you go.
$10 if they both win, $7,800. $7,800 and $10 I'll get back.
Put $1,500 bucks on that, make $1 million, And there you go.
Then you'll never hear from me again.
Never.
Ever. That's tax-free money up here, pal.
A million U.S. in Canada?
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Yeah. 1.4 mil tax-free?
See ya. Yeah.
See
you,
ya.
You and J.J. Mayo.
Yeah, that's never going to happen. All right, man. You got anything else? Was there anything else on your list you wanted to hit on?
Let's see. DFS Open, blame them for COVID. Done that. Felix Gray plug for both of us for sponsorship. We've done that. Is that going to interfere with any of your sponsors? This is me.
Well, okay. They're not technically a sponsor. So
right.
I'm not. I think if I was getting money from them, then it would be a problem. But since I'm not, it can't be.
No, if you're getting money from like lens crafters, that would suck.
Yeah, I'm not. Like I said, my eyes are too good. Sometimes like people come to me with advertisements, like I can't actually advertise that.
These aren't real, man. I'm 2015. I can see through time. These just block the blueness, right?
Yeah, no one's believing. What do you have, migraine problems?
I got nothing. It's just I bought them because Dave Portnoy was selling them.
So advertising works, is what you're saying.
It worked.
I never put you on a big stoolie, by the way.
No, I'm not. I'm not at all. But I do respect what he's built. And I do respect that he's holding that content together and losing 1.25 million shorting stocks when things are going the other way. And I do think that your kids may not be old enough, but I'm just very upset that I didn't think of it. The number one thing they look at on YouTube is unboxing of stuff. It could matter. They could look at it for hours, just people unboxing toys, right?
Mm-hmm.
He took that concept, whether intentionally or not, and applied it to his apartment opening stuff that brands sent him. And I just thought that was clever.
Yeah, Paul's been watching it.
I mean, when there's nothing else to watch, you got to appreciate that he's holding it together. And then I saw these Felix Grays, and I'm like, hey, those look good. Maybe they'll sponsor this show with me and Pat.
It could happen. Like, crazier things have actually happened. Like, the Outlaw Tour is live streaming golf, and we're watching it. Crazier things have happened than us getting a sponsor.
Yeah, we'll get it.
If anyone wants a sponsor, just talk to me. Talk to Matt, talk to me. You know, we got room here on the schedule to sponsor there, for advertising at least. I can work it in organically, too. Like, when I ask Jeff, hey, is this a product you'll use? And he'll be like, fuck no. And then,
yeah, hang on one second. I'm just going to take a glass sip of my Red Bull. Sugar-free.
Oh, sugar-free. Got the zero cal going?
It gives you wings, Pat.
I do enjoy my side. I had a Red Bull the other night when I was doing the live NFL draft show.
Is there anything like the taste of Red Bull?
I don't know. I just usually pound black coffee, but that's me.
Yeah.
Red Bull, even sugar-free, it's just I'm too hyped up. I don't need liquid cocaine at all times.
I used to drink vodka and Red Bull, Pat. It was a really tough part of my life.
That would get you fired up. That would keep you going all night.
Right.
It's like I remember when I turned in Canada, when you turn 19, you can start drinking. So when I would go in college, it would be a lot of like Jager and Red Bull, and that was disastrous.
Jager, Red Bull, yes. What do they call that?
Jager bombs.
Jager bombs. That's right. What am I, a fucking idiot?
Hey, when you're 19, you don't know any better. You're just pumped to be. You're pumped to be out.
Goldschlager, Jager bombs. You do shot of Crown Royal sometimes, right?
Yeah, yeah. I don't really drink hard liquor. Vodka is the only hard liquor I really drink, just because when I was younger and would drink hard liquor, I was like a garbage person, so I just stopped drinking it.
Like a garbage human being?
Yeah.
Yeah. It turns you into a garbage human being.
Yeah.
That's a fact.
So it just I'll have like vodka water if I'm going to drink any sort of hard liquor.
But Red Bull and soda is an all-time great.
Red Bull and soda with vodka, or just Red Bull and soda mixed together?
Yeah, like I don't.
Pepsi and Red Bull.
I don't drink anymore. Just Red Bull and soda. Do you still call soda like Coke up there?
I think it's very regional depending on where you are. Like some people call it soda, some people call it pop, some people just call it by the brand name.
Do I have to say, I forget because it's been so long since I've actually lived in Canada, but club soda, right? You know what that is.
Yeah.
Okay. There you go.
Not a huge fan of club soda. But I think that's basically what like White Claws are, aren't they?
Yeah, I think it's One of my biggest regrets is that I can't tell the story. I was going to tell the story. I can't tell the story.
All right. We'll pass on the story.
I got to finally vet it first before I release this information, but maybe for the next podcast, once I write it down my thoughts, see if I was drinking vodka and club soda and Red Bull, I would spill all the beans.
Yeah. See, that's the problem, right?
Right.
All right.
You know what?
What?
I hate Jeff so much.
Oh, Jeff knows too. He knows.
Oh, come on.
He knows.
I do not hate Jeff.
I just texted him that when you were just very close to the camera. I texted him, Wiley hates
Well, I, here's the thing. I love Jeff. I gave him my max bets Thursday. I am like, and by the way, I said Patrick Queen over 24.5 pick, and that was right.
You were correct on that.
The Justin Herbert being traded to the number 3 pick, that didn't turn out to be right. Well, anyway, I text Pat, Jeff, the same max bets. And all he wrote back was ? And I thought, how rude. But then I realized he did his Periscope an hour later and he was gone. Plus it was his night, right? This Chargers night.
Yeah. And then it very quickly got away from him, I think.
Right. Plus I told him that Herbert, which I realize now, was going to the Lions.
I thought your whole point was that the Lions were going to trade the pick to someone. Then that team was going to pick Herbert.
I Twitter searched the word Herbert and some yackle said that Herbert was going to be traded to the Jaguars. And that's all it needed for me to max bet.
Yeah, that's what you sent me. I was like, I don't know who this person is that you're believing. I thought you had legit inside info.
No, I never do.
You talk to your friend, like, I don't know, you know all like the horse guys. Be like, oh, the horse guy, he knows the agent of this guy, he knows this. No, it was just some like Twitter.
It's all a sham. This is all a sham, Pat. You know it.
How pissed were you about no Kentucky Derby?
It's disappointing. It'll come back in September, I think. Listen, just the lineup of Spring, Augusta, Derby is something you look forward to in the, you know, the doldrums of winter. So the whole thing was disappointing. 2020 sucks. It just is the shittiest year. So, I mean, how much more disappointing can it get?
Yeah. Could you, like, is the golf stream still running horse races?
Yeah. Yeah. I think. I mean, they were a few weeks ago.
You know, and why? I mean, they had.
They did the Florida Derby virtually.
Yeah, and they had the jockey who tested positive for coronavirus, and they still held it anyway, so I don't see why they'd stop now.
Yeah.
All right.
We need golf back.
Yeah, we do. We need sports back, man. MMA is going to be the first one back.
What happened there? All of a sudden, Dana White stopped. He said, nah, let's not do it.
I feel like because they were going to have it on like native land in California. And I think the governor of California phoned Disney, who owns ESPN, which has the rights to UFC. And we're like, nah, put the kibosh on this. I think that's what happened. That would be like the logic trail that I would follow. That's why he needs to go to Spider Skull Island so we can have his fights there. It'd be like Bloodsport.
Is that a real thing?
And apparently they bought a private island. Like the one that they're doing first is in Jacksonville. So that
yeah, same thing.
I don't see any reason why that wouldn't happen at this point. But I guess if you want like international fighters, you need to have a place where, because the U.S. isn't letting anyone in, are they?
I think only essential travel.
Yeah, so I don't know if that would be considered essential travel.
Can I get back into Canada, by the way, as a citizen?
Yeah, I think as a citizen you can, but I think as like if you were just American
traveling,
I don't think that you could get in unless it was like for essential travel. The same way that like I can't go to the States right now.
Wow. Okay. Good to know.
And I think like Trump tried to reopen it, I think, but then Trudeau was like, "Nah, it's not going to happen." I think that we'll keep the border closed longer than you guys would. That would be my read on it right now.
Probably.
Very cautious up here.
Yeah. I'll be up there. And I promise this year, I promise, if we can, I want to do something in studio with you.
If the laws allow it, we will do something in studio.
Let's do that, Pat.
All right. I mean, next time that I'm talking golf might be back when I'm back from paternity leave for the Colonial.
No. We're doing this every week. Outlaw tour. You and me, buddy.
Well, I'm going to be like legit, like not working for 3 weeks. So
you want me to take over your show?
You might have to. I was going to get Jeff to do it, but I don't know.
The P in Pat is easily changed to an M.
I don't know. I'm gonna pre-record some stuff. I'll have shows every day. It just won't be about the Outlaw tour.
Okay.
All right. Who do you got for Augusta, by the way, now that it's in November?
Webb Simpson.
No, you got to go Bryson, man. Bryson's going to win the Masters.
Okay. I genuinely think, as much as it pains me to say this, but I think that Patrick Reed could win again.
Yeah, I think he could win. How do you think this changes everything in terms of the course? Because like some people are like, nothing's going to change. But I mean, it's a completely different season. Like, it's 6 months after. Like, presumably, well, like I went and looked at like the average temperature from like early April to when it's going to be held in November. Like, it's not cold in Georgia in November, but it could be cold. You know what I mean? Like how it could be cold at the Masters, but generally it is not. It won't be like freezing in Georgia in November, but there's the chance that it could be pretty cold.
I think they're going to try to make the course as similar to April as possible in terms of speed. That would be my guess. You can't control the weather. Golfers generally don't like playing in cold weather, and that changes a lot of things. I just think that Patrick Reed and his short game, and hearing Brooks Koepka say that, and Tiger Woods when they were playing with him, that he perhaps has the best short game in the world. I just think that, plus he plays with this enormous chip on his shoulder. Everything's going to change because no one's really in season at that point. Maybe they are. I don't know. But something tells me that Patrick Reed can just come in and steal it again. My thought.
Yeah, I was when I first Jeff and I actually have a show banked about us talking about the potential of it being. We recorded it like a month ago. I've just kind of been sitting on it in case I need a show where we kind of recap everything. We talk about the Masters a little bit, and at the time I didn't realize like Colonial would be coming back. I just assumed the PGA Championship, if that even happened, would be the first time we get tours back. So it really wouldn't apply. But I do think that Bryson comes out of the gate hot. I think him and Sungjae are going to be primed and ready to go. Well, everyone's kind of knocking off rust.
In terms of just actual tour?
Yeah, just in terms play? Of like the like, cuz I thought yeah. I thought there was a chance that PGA that like Harding Park could be the first time we see anyone. And if that right. was the case, I'd be like, just give me the guys who I know that working they've been out. Grinding every single day. Like there's just
yeah.
I see videos of Sungjae every day. He's playing like 72 holes a day.
Yeah, he's unbelievable. I don't know what is going on with the Bryson Waite experiment. I just know that likely will not end great.
Really? I think it goes the other way. Like, he's already figured out the driving part of it. He just needs to figure out the iron part of it now.
But do you know how hard it is to maintain 270, 280 pounds, which is his target?
I will say that
your 30s and 40s, dude?
The only people that I know that have successfully pulled something like that off are
the Big Show?
No, like I have a friend, he's 6'4", he weighs like 265, he did bodybuilding, then he leaned down, but then he got big again, and that's what he maintains. He's in really good shape. And he doesn't do steroids or anything like that. He did do steroids, but he doesn't now. So in order to maintain that, like, he has a very strict diet that he adheres to every single day. He has a workout regimen that he has to do 5 times a week. And it's all in a big, like, binder. It's in a notepad, and he just puts checks by. Like, that sounds like something Bryson would have. Like, here's exactly what I need to eat to maintain. Here's exactly how I have to work out to maintain. And I figure, like, he has the discipline to do it.
Yeah. I don't know.
It might not be something that he maintains until he's 35, but he doesn't need to. If he can maintain it for, like, 3 years, it is a striking advantage how well he has done off the tee since he has bulked up. If the rest of his game can kind of catch up back to where it was. And he's a pretty streaky player to begin with. But the fact that he's, like, outgaining Rory off the tee is shocking.
Yeah, there's no doubt that he's very good. I think he means well.
I love Bryson, by the way. Like, he's my guy.
Yeah. I don't think he's a I think he's probably a really nice guy. I think he's just different, and I think he's just trying something different. Results to be seen.
Yeah, like I said, I think that the off-the-tee stuff has clearly worked so far. And I think this break is good for him. It's like it's going to be – this break has to be good for Spieth, doesn't it?
It's a good question. I think a reset mentally and a break perhaps will help him. But I don't know if the world of golfers have just gotten so good over the last few years that he just, his game just can't compete with them anymore.
Well, for years, Jeff and I used to compare Reed and Spieth together because their games are relatively similar. Like, Patrick Reed has the best short game in the world. Spieth isn't far behind. He has an excellent short game. And he has that nuclear putter that can go off. It just, he lost the ability to drive the golf ball. Like, if he can figure that out again, like, Patrick Reed's still not a great driver of the golf ball, but he's, like, good. If Spieth can just be good or average, then all of a sudden I think he can win some tournaments.
But he also lost his ability around the green somewhat. And I recall, I think it was the Waste Management when he had a chip on 18 just to get it close up and down to make the cut. And then he also missed the putt. I think he's number one or two in putts from an average distance of over 20 feet. I think he's near last in putts. Is it 3 feet or 3 to 5 feet or within 5 feet?
That would seem like more of a yips type of thing, though. That's why I think a break would help.
Yeah, I thought the caddy thing, this caddy situation, would be part of the resolution. I just felt like his caddy, if you've seen any biographies on him, is one of the nicest humans on earth. But I think that maybe deep down they both understand they need a break. And that's just speculation. I don't have any information leading me to that conclusion. But Greller and him have won so much together. And I just feel like sometimes those switches need to happen in order to get a mental reset. I don't know. I'm not a Spieth hater. I think he is great for the game. I think he is. I think there's been a lot of distractions for him since he ascended to one of the best players in the world, winning so early. I think that put a lot of distraction on him as a brand and the face for the PGA because Tiger, was not for a period, and they replaced him quickly with Spieth. And I just felt like while other people were working on their games, he's doing all these ad interstitials all the time, working with sponsors and brands and being an advocate for the game as he does so well, that it perhaps just took away from him, maintaining his greatness or being at ease. But there's also when you start playing, much like you saw Justin Thomas win 100 times in his first couple of years, like there's an ease to it, right? You got nothing to lose. Sungjae Im. Who cares? You haven't won yet, so just go out and play every week. And no one really knows who you are. And now Spieth is trying to get back to that level. Is he chasing his tail a little bit? I don't know. I want Spieth to be good. Good Spieth is good for golf.
Yeah,
on the record.
Good Spieth is good for golf. And it's always fun to have, because like the betting and DraftKings player community, anyone who just looks at like stats for golf, would see Spieth as the ultimate outlier, but it's always fun to inject that guy who kind of like breaks all the trends of what you actually want to see. It's like the teams in football that run the ball a bunch, but actually are successful doing it. Then no one can figure out why they're doing well. People bet against them every week. But they win anyway. Spieth has become that guy for golf.
Ricky Fowler too, I think from a absolute, like a Bubba Watson, just a natural at the game. I just think that Ricky Fowler should be so much better than he is.
You want Ricky to be better than he is.
He's so good at everything. I would take his putter with Tiger over virtually anyone. His short game. It's just those major mistakes that derail him at critical times because he's so aggressive. He's one of the most accurate drivers on tour. He's not exceptionally long, but he's not short. And he's just so clutch. I mean, not that I just contradict myself. He makes a lot of birdies. And he can be really streaky.
He's Phil. He's Phil before Phil won the Masters.
That might be a good comparison.
And when Phil cleaned up all those mistakes that he used to make, the mental gaffes or the double bogeys and triple bogeys because of the aggressive lines that he would always try to take in his style of play, all of a sudden, I mean, Ricky's never going to have the career Phil had because Phil was still winning a bunch during that time and Ricky has so few wins. But it wouldn't be shocking. Like, I would see Ricky, like, to me, I know he's into his 30s now, but like by the time he's 40, you could look at him and see like, oh, he went the Mickelson way or he goes the Sergio way. I think he gets one eventually, but he's just a guy that we remember for being better than he was, but he'll have a major. And he was very popular because he broke onto the scene so early. He wore all the stuff. And we always knew the talent. It just never came to fruition.
There aren't many guys that you would take when you know that he's going to go on a run for birdies more than Ricky. You know when he's locked in.
Sure, but I mean, you could say
Sanjay.
You could say kind of the same thing about Finau. That guy makes birdies at tough courses, and then he just makes like a triple.
He makes good scores at tough courses, is right. He does really well at the Masters and U.S. Opens. Tommy Fleetwood, another one.
Yeah, Fleetwood can go nuclear at kind of any time, but. Fleetwood is just a victim of one bad round every tournament. Like he has three good rounds and then like one round where everyone's shooting 65 and he's like 74 for some reason. I don't get it.
That's the big difference, man. Louis, Tony, Ricky.
Casey. Casey's good.
Casey's very good. They're all good.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all good.
But people forget Casey's, what, 42, I think?
Casey's 42.
Yeah, like he's a lot older than I think people give him, like, realize.
But he can actually carry 270 pounds. He's built like a shithouse.
Yeah, he was a bodybuilder, right?
Yeah. Oh, was he?
Yeah, he was.
You're making that shit up.
No, I'm pretty sure he was a bodybuilder in, like, the like early 2000s. Paul Casey, bodybuilder. I feel like that's why he has those, like, Popeye arms.
No.
Well, he's a part of this Bleacher Report article of the 10 most jacked golfers on the PGA Tour from 2001.
From 2001?
Or for 2011, sorry.
Tiger, Paul Casey.
Yes, Dustin Johnson.
Adam Scott.
Y.E. Yang.
Really?
Camilo Vajegas.
Yes.
This has KJ Choi on it, but I would never... He's more like brick shithousey. Like he's just sort of like a tank. I don't know if I'd call him like jacked. Adam Scott, not on this list. Lee Westwood is on this list. What a weird list. Pat Perez.
Pat Perez.
I don't know about this now. Anyway, powerlifting is what. No, that's Pat Casey. Sorry. Anyway, maybe I'm making that up. Feel like we've gone off the rails here. We've gone for an hour, though. That's fun.
Pat Casey is the most jacked power lifter in 2011.
Also, Will the Thrill McKenzie was on that list. Remember him?
Yes, I do remember Will McKenzie.
I believe he's still like kicking around in like qualifiers.
Yeah. Something happened with Will McKenzie and his wife.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Another story that I will... document and finally vet before I go on air with it.
So, bet recap for all of this. We're going Spawn 14. I got him at 12-1.
Mm-hmm.
And who was the other guy? Mitch Carlson 70-1.
Bingo.
And then
bang.
And then we bet, what was the girl's name? Luis what?
Stahale
at
16, 14, 12,
at,
11.
At 14-1 and play doubles with both of them. That'll be the allocation of funds this week.
Yes. Mason, Carlson, Spawn.
All right.
Facts.
Let's do it.
Did you want to go this long? Or did we have this fun? Or did I just drag it out too long?
Yeah, it was probably dragged out too long. That doesn't mean I didn't have fun.
But who cares, right?
Yeah, it's a fucking podcast. People can turn it off if they want. All right, man. Be well.
Until next time. Yes, I'm relieving. Now that you're leaving, soon as you can pay. Yes, I'm relaxing. Hear that you're resting. Never get you. Yes, I'm soothing. Now that you're soothing.
Yes, I'll see.